night, I hear him talk, the coldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, he lost his soul to a woman so heartless.
1125, Gretchen Fourier here with you. The Heartless Andy Hart with us on the Harbor One Hotline. You can also see him on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Looking good. Is that a new pullover you got working there?
Oh, look at that.
Oh, we're just going to judge me. Is that what we do now?
Yes.
You objectify me? Yes.
A man who goes by, oh, yeah, I'm the one that wears hats all the time, is now like, oh, what are you commenting on my wardrobe for?
Wait a minute. I didn't say I wear hats all the time. You said it.
No, why? Everyone notices.
Yeah. Why are you making fun of my head being so big? Well, because it's really, really big.
If Bill Belichick said, that's true. That's right. How come you don't have fitted hats, sir?
It's like, well, how big does this fitted hat go to? It's like, no, we got to get one of the ones that have like a little click in the back.
I think I have a brand new 8 1/8 fitted hat that I've never used. I should just give it to you.
You should.
That might be a smidge big, but someone did give me a beautiful, like, semi-fitted hat the other day, and it didn't fit.
You know those hats that the kids wear, like the big giant hats that you see them like at sporting events?
There was a dude courtside with the Celtics who had it on. Yeah,
that's what we need for Hart.
Yep, just go right.
Don't we have
over.
A draft to talk about?
All right, then fine. Who will be getting the Patriots hat at number 14? Hi-oh. Oh.
Are we thinking they're actually going to pick 14?
Well, there we go. Wouldn't that set people off if they traded down or didn't take their favorite wide receiver or whatever? Hart, though, in all seriousness, and I know you and I touched on it a little bit on Monday, but now we're, you know, a little more than 24 hours away from the first round of the draft. Here comes all the rumors, right? Here comes all the, this guy's flying up the board. Are you buying the talk of Will Levis potentially being the number one pick, or has at least gotten to a point, Hart, where it's all but guaranteed three of those quarterbacks are likely to go, say, in the top five or six?
I do think the quarterbacks are going to go in the top five or six. I know there was an interesting little battle on ESPN last week where Orlovsky and Schefter got into it, and they bet a steak dinner on it or something, and Schefter was very arrogant, as he generally is with his information.
Snarky Hart.
And he bet that after Bryce Young, there would not be a quarterback going in the top four, and Orlovsky thought there would be. I do think there will be. It's the nature of the business, right? Like, quarterbacks drive business, and teams need those. Now, Gresh, I told you, my dream scenario is the opposite. I think it makes it really interesting for the Patriots if the quarterbacks start sliding, either for the Mac stinks and you need a quarterback crowd, or for the, as you said, we're getting near 14, somebody could trade up to get the quarterbacks that are sliding, and maybe that's the opportunity. I'm still holding out hope that the trade is up, that the trade is not down, that one of these elite defensive players drops, whether it's a Will Anderson, a Jalen Carter, a Christian Gonzalez. I'm still hoping, or offensive linemen go up and get the best tackle, Paris Johnson or Broderick Jones. So we're doing 6 hours of radio tomorrow night on the Rich Keefe draft party.
You guys are the only draft show in town, by the way.
Damn right, and we are going to kill the hell out of that night. But I don't want to be talking about a trade down in a draft where the latest buzz, Gresh, is, well, nobody has even 15 first-round grades, right?
Yeah, that's the new one, right?
Awesome. So we're going to trade down to 22 and get a second round pick at 22? No. Trade up and make sure you get one of the 12 to 15 actual first round values in this draft.
Andy, what would bug you the most? Like tomorrow night when you guys are going, you start at 6, right?
Yep.
Okay. Till midnight.
Yep.
What would bug you? Forget about like if they don't pick anybody, they trade into the second round and you spend your whole time there. What pick would drive you the most nuts?
The most nuts, I think, would be, in a weird way, because I love the player, Peter Skoronski, the guard out of Northwestern. I do think he's a really good guard. And had you not taken Cole Strange in the first round a year ago, I think Peter Skoronski would be a great pick. But going back-to-back years with a guard in the first round, including one in the top 14 picks in the draft, in a league where you need quarterbacks, you need playmaking wide receivers, you need cornerbacks, and you need pass rushers. If you go back-to-back guard, I think that would be another log on the pile of fire that is, maybe Bill's kind of lost his way here.
Yeah, I'm not, like, to go guard, and that's what Skoronski seems to be. Franchise left tackle, another big, because you need him. People don't trust Trent Brown. I don't even know if the Patriots trust Trent Brown. Right now, he's your de facto starting left tackle. So if it was somebody that even if they brought him in and they didn't jump in the lineup right away, but you knew they were the heir apparent, you could at least understand it. If they went guard, then it better mean they're doing something else with Onwenu. I mean, I know Onwenu's probably gone after this year anyway, right?
Right.
Last year of his deal on it. I mean, that's the thing. Bump him outside. I know you signed all those other tackles, but then why did you do what you do in free agency if you knew you were going to go down that road on draft night?
And everybody's talking about, and I don't love this talk either, the year too early. Oh, Kyle Duggar's going to be a free agent. Josh Uche is going to be a free agent. Mm-hmm. What are you doing here? What are you doing there? Oh, draft a year too early, like they did often throughout the dynasty, the double dynastic days, as Fitzy would call them. Nate Solder's the greatest example. Matt Light was still here. You draft Solder, and a year later, he slides into that tackle role.
And Solder played guard, by the way.
And
tight end.
And tight end.
And you're not good enough, in my opinion, as a roster to wait a year for that. But also, you'd still only have two guards moving forward. You'd still have, great, you solidified 1978 called, and they want their offensive linebacker. That would be awesome. You can go lead the league in rushing again. I don't know that you are a better football team or you win football games. And Gresh, you love offensive line play as much as anyone, but if they go back-to-back guard, I think even John Hanna would call it a stupid pick.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Get a good player would be first and foremost. However, there had better be a different kind of plan with the dudes that we're looking at that are there right now. Like, I don't know if Calvin Anderson was promised an opportunity to try to win the left tackle job or whatnot, but with Reef, the guys you've had on layaway, supposedly they like Stuber, they got Connor McDermott. It feels like they have enough to be able to. I'm with you. Like if it's like Paris Johnson or a big left tackle or the kid Wright from Tennessee that Dan Jeremiah was pushing, that's one thing. You get an inside guy. The only thing that I might co-sign on might be center if there was a really good one to take at 14, because we have seen what, and there isn't. That's the thing. But we've seen what happens when David Andrews is out of this lineup.
What do they need, Andy?
I think they need a cornerback.
I think
they need cornerback play. We don't know what Jalen Mills is. Seems to be plenty of smoke that he could be kind of your Devin McCourty replacement. I thought he was brought here all along to be a safety. Jack Jones, is he your number one corner? Can you continue to play Jonathan Jones on the outside? If the answer to those two questions is no, if Jack Jones is not ready to be a wow year two jump number one corner, and you don't want to keep running Jonathan Jones out there at outside corner, you want to bump him back to slot, then it's no questions asked your biggest position of need. You need to get probably multiples, right? You have 11 picks. You might need to get a top starting corner and swing back around and add some depth to that position. So that would be my biggest position of need. And that's why if a guy like, I love Christian Gonzalez. I know Devon Witherspoon is a great player, plays a physical style. I don't know that I love him for the Patriots for a few different reasons. First of all, I think durability could be a concern the way he plays moving forward. And I just think Gonzalez is a man number one corner in theory. And if he slides into the 8-9 range, somewhere down there, that's where I think you absolutely have to think.
Because I asked you that because there is this whole need versus value. And value, I guess, value, when people hear value, they go, this guy's cheap, you know, and he's really good. Let's get him on a bargain. But in regard to the draft, I would put value as like, oh, here are my top 10 ranked players in the entire draft. Okay, I know I need a corner. But sure as hell, here I come, and one of the guys in the top 10 of just straight value, one of the great players, is actually a wide receiver, or maybe it's a running back. And then I wonder how tempted would they be to disregard their need and just get what they would consider, man, a really good player.
And I think the guy you're talking about, or one guy that fills that bill, is Bijan Robinson, the running back. Most people say if you just ranked these guys on their ability to do their job, he's like a top five player.
That's who I want.
And I think that's an interesting discussion because guard, A, you took one last year. B, we can say, well, how much does guard change your team, make you a better team, help you compete in a division where people suddenly have you sort of slotted for last place behind the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins. Whereas running back, there's this whole debate over value and the game and where he takes you, but they can impact the game. We've all seen running backs that change teams, whether it's an elite workhorse like Derrick Henry, or it's Christian McCaffrey and the electric playmaking. So running back is still a position you can argue, if he's as great as everybody thinks he is, absolutely he could be worth that pick at 14. And it's not really a need, because you have Ramondre Stevenson and you drafted Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris a year ago, but he could have a positive impact on your ability to win football games. So I do think a guy like him you'd consider.
I love it. I'm with you on that, Hart. And I wonder if everyone on the outside has been looking at it and being like, well, you need this amount of wide receivers. You need this amount of tight ends. You're only going to play with this amount of running backs. And you drafted running backs last year. But I wonder if under the Bill O'Brien offense, they're looking at it as more the collection of the group. Like, Gesicki is a tight end, but he's a lot like a wide receiver. So does that negate needing to go get a fifth wideout or something like that? You know, the running back group, can you put two of them on the field at the same time? I do wonder if at Gillette, with sort of Bill O'Brien reimagined here, if instead of a lot of us looking at it and saying, well, check the box, that for them it's the collection of talent that they can mix together in different ways.
Yeah, I think it always has been. I think it always will be. And I think that is strengthened with Bill O'Brien. But there's been years where everybody's like, oh, who's battling for the fifth wide receiver job in camp? And then Bill keeps four receivers, right? Like, he just says,
right,
I'm keeping my best 53. I'm going to keep my best offensive players. Now, a year ago, I think that's harder with Matt Patricia in that debacle. I think you can lean on personnel groupings from Bill O'Brien, and theoretically, I do believe that's supposed to play into the strengths of Mac Jones, right? He's not just, well, get me a deep threat and I'll chuck it down the field. And
identify the mismatch, right?
He can find the mismatch. And now, there are some guys on the roster, like Ty Montgomery is still on the roster, and he's still an interesting tweener, slot receiver, running back, passing back. It depends, you know, where the evolution of the young running backs go. But I do believe under the guidance and modern football, too. Just like, I think that's archaic to say, well, we need three wide receivers. We need a tight end. We need that. Like,
right.
I think good offensive coaches now just say, I need five guys out there who stress a defense, Tyler.
I totally agree with you. That's why I guess I don't freak out about, like, we go in just the overall weapons discussion that we've had. They have good receivers. Now, can they manipulate them and use them, like, to the best of their ability? Yeah, you got one of the best that can do it. But you mentioned Nate Solder, which is like the succession plan at left tackle was, you know, Nate Solder for Matt Light.
Matt Light.
The other day we were talking about this, and it just kind of feels similar to me with the succession plan of, you know, Christian Fourier to Dan Graham, and like, you know, with Cam Cleland at the same time. No, it does feel similar to that, because like there wasn't really a need, you know, at that point in time. But and then they went and got another one a year after that.
It's a sneaky humble brag.
No, it isn't.
Well, I was listening earlier. Wait, whoa. I got to go back to this.
When
I was listening earlier, I heard Christian Fourier say, I've won at every level. I won in high school. I won in college. I won in the pros.
He's got so many rings. He can put one on his ding ding.
I also won my eighth grade basketball championship.
Yeah,
what else do I want me to do? And nobody was better than kickball than me. And if you want to play Socko, which is based on what we call dodgeball, okay, I got something for you.
Socko?
Yeah, we call it Socko. It was banned, though.
Oh, okay.
I thought that's murder ball. We call it murder ball, really.
Sorry, I know this is a rough joke, but I thought that's what Cam Cleland was playing, Socko.
Oh.
Get beat with socks full of nickels.
Sure, though.
It's a mean heart.
That is
Andy Hart has become the
butt. That's assault.
That's assault, brother.
Yep.
Nobody shaved their legs better than Cam Cleland. Boy, let me tell you.
Oh, man. And you were making a point before we distracted you.
I don't know what
you.
It was. My point is,
you're a big winner. We know that.
Value, needed value. Right. And I do think that, like, Bill has this, I don't know, out of all the positions, I think tight end is one that he's really kind of, I don't know, intrigued by more than others.
Tight end, first or third round.
Yeah, he's been obsessed, I would say, with tight ends over the years. Like, early on, it was the, who were those guys? Jabari Holloway. There was a double dip, like a mid-round double dip. Then there was the Graham Watson double dip.
I was going to say, are you going to the, it was Dave Stachelski or something like that, a part of that? The kid from Boise?
out of Notre Dame. Like, he loves Tiger. And I don't disagree with him. Christian, I've told you this. Not to, you know, I like to make fun of you and tear you down at times. But
that's what
to
we're
me, tight
now.
Ends are tight ends are some of the best athletes on the field. Like, that's, like, they can impact the game in so many ways. And I think Bill believes that. And if you're going to, well, we'll take that guy. He could help in the run. He can help in the pass. He can help on special teams because he's big and he can run. Like, all these various jobs. I don't disagree with it. And this is a loaded. That's the other thing we haven't really touched on with value is, for example, pass rushers. There's really good pass rushers at the top of this draft. You have Tyree Wilson. You have Will Anderson. Like, there's guys up there. And then there is a massive group of guys in the second and third rounds that I think can play. That I think, so what do I need one. I want one. They're important. But can I wait and get somebody who's 85 cents on the dollar in the second round? Whereas maybe there's a position like maybe they feel corner falls off the map. And that plays into that value debate, Christian, that you're talking about. Value, best player available, need, all of those balances. Tight ends, another position. There's guys that are going to go in the first round. Then I think there's guys that are going to go in the second and third round that have just as much upside and potential. So balancing that out as part of the draft process is important as well.
The Rich Keefe Draft Party tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. It's Keefe, it's Fitzy, it's Hart, and Scheim. How long will it take you to fire back at a terrible Scheim draft take? Over, under 2.5 minutes?
Oh, under 2.5 minutes. He'll have something. He's all over the map. I mean,
yeah.
I love his passion. I love his energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's his knowledge and struggle.
You know what it is?
It's everything else.
Scheim is the typical guy that falls in love with the athlete. Like, yep. Trey Young can play quarterback because he's a great athlete. Well, the guy can't think, and he can't stay healthy, so that's part of it, too.
We but can't anyway. Let him go. Make your prediction. Who do they take?
My prediction is Broderick Jones, the tackle out of Georgia. I like it, too. I think that's a really good pick. I think he's a really good athlete. I know people have a little bit PTSD from Isaiah Wynn from a few years ago as a tackle out of Georgia. I think this is a much better player, much better athlete. I think this could be a true franchise left tackle, and I think that would be a good pick for them.
Good stuff. All right. Hart's going to be a part of the draft coverage here tomorrow night on WEEI. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
And by the way, if people want to catch up with their draft prep, Six Rings podcast feed, go there. We have our draft preview podcast, our mock draft podcast, and all the positional breakdowns that Scheim and I did leading up to it, so you can cram for Thursday night to be ready.
Very good stuff. Great conversation with Brian Baldinger on
yes.
the Six
Ooh,
Rings podcast.
No, Baldy's my favorite.
And he was on
oh, yeah,
camera.
You definitely got to listen to this
but,
one.
But he had the wayward.
I'm glad I know about it now.
He had the wayward pinky
oh, yeah, the
on
pinky
camera. That thing
place.
Was all over the place,
I
man.
Think he does it on purpose.
I kind of think
He's
so,
He's always,
too.
Like, holding his hands up, and it's like he yeah. wants to freak people out.
It's his
you
gimmick.
Think he drinks that yeah. way, like with the pinky out? Just to
Dude, that thing might be a can opener, right? He just and pops it. Thank you, Hart. We appreciate you, buddy.
See you guys.